Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm getting levels, but yeah, we don't have to.
Well, no, we can.
Okay, well, now we officially are recording. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the How To Podcast. With this episode, I'm Luke Anderson. That is Sunshine Yellow.
You can call me Sunshine today.
That thing is bright.
Woo! The funny thing is I haven't broke it out. This is the first time I broke it out. I was feeling some kind of way this morning, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, you know, if there is no sunshine, you need to be this sunshine.
I need to tell you something. I'm going to Alaska next week.
Yeah.
I looked at the temperatures, overnight and daytime high temperatures on average. 5 degrees higher every day in Alaska than they will be here in Portland. How about that?
Really?
That's yes. Shocking. And there is no flood warnings up there.
Well,
last year we went on the same trip. So this was a trip that I took last. So
yep.
This will tie nicely back into what we were about to talk about, which is golf. My brothers and I are all very mediocre golfers at best. But we enjoy the game. We go out as a foursome. I have three brothers plus me makes four. We go out as a fearsome foursome. We play very meh golf. We have a great time. So we talked about for years going to Alaska to play midnight golf because my birthday is at the end of June and the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, is June 20th.
Yeah.
All of these things. So last year we decide we're going to go to Alaska because I turned 40. So we go up there to play golf at midnight. We bring some fly rods. We bring some spinners. We bring some gear to try to catch some fish. Well, we get up there and it ends up being the salmon run for the sockeyes in the Russian River. We end up going there. We end up falling madly in love with the scenery and the fish and the whole thing. And we were not outfitted for salmon fishing. We
were outfitted for golf.
100%. Had like collectively spent like $400,000 at the B&J's like bait and tackle shop or whatever. Yeah. Whatever it was. They have a sportsman's warehouse. They have like Cabela's up there, whatever. No, we went to like the local Alaska outfitters or whatever, right? And they spent all their money. They bought waders and we brought new line and lures and whatever. They geared up. So this year we're going back, but we're all outfitted. Like I got a 9-weight fly rod and I've got like 30-pound test. I'm ready to go. Last year I had like a 4-weight or 3-weight, whatever. Like it's so old. I don't even think it references what it is, but like if I put 30-pound test line on that pole, I would have snapped it in half. My brother snapped the end off of his. He had an 8-weight and snapped the end off the top of his, catching sockeye in the Russian River. Very, very cool trip. This year, 5 degrees warmer on average. Last year, we landed back in Portland on the 27th of June, the day before my 40th birthday.
Okay.
We landed at 7 a.m. It was 95 degrees. Oof. At 7 a.m. That was the heat dome last year. It was 117 degrees on my birthday last year.
Yeah. This year, we're sitting in the Pacific Northwest and we have had the wettest record for April, May, and June so far. Wettest on record.
Yep.
It's been crazy.
And we're only halfway through June.
Yeah, we only have.
It's a mess. Crazy.
It's absolutely insane.
It is a mess. So speaking of golf.
So I did not golf last year. However, and that was strictly just whether it was the divorce or just getting accustomed to.
Wait, don't you get divorced so you can play golf? I think you're doing it wrong.
No. Well, the priorities shift.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
Priority shift. So I didn't end up going golfing at all last year. And that was probably the first year I haven't golfed ever for, I mean, at least 10, 12 years now.
Okay. As an adult person. Like,
yeah. I typically golf a good handful of times. Like 1 year, cause my birthday is also at the end of June.
Wait, what day is your birthday?
The 30th.
Okay. And I'm the 28th.
Hello, fellow Cancer.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Doing our thing out here.
I have another good friend that has a birthday, I say good friend. I keep up with him. One of the few people from LA that I keep up with. He's an actor, and every once in a while he'll show up. Liquor store clerk in Sharknado. He was on some viral video in some ridiculous show that I watched the other day. Every once in a while, my friend Steve pops up, but he's also the 30th of June.
30th. Yeah, yep. I've got a handful of in my family. Like, actually, I was born on the same day as my cousin. I'm an hour older than he is.
Oh, how about that? The exact same day. That's a thing. That's pretty cool.
Crazy.
Anyway, so yeah, normally you golf, but now
I golf a bit. Now, see, for me, golf was important growing up as a child, right? Okay. Like, I'm going through high school. Tiger Woods is a phenom at this point.
Yep.
Like, my senior year, I think, was the year that he graduated Stanford and went pro.
What year was that?
That's 2000.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure that's the year that he ultimately decided to go pro, because by 01 and 02, he's winning majors.
Like, have you watched the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO?
I have. Yeah.
That's a thing.
It's good.
It's very good. And that was, and you have to remember that the all right, here's the end of the documentary was like,
oh,
just before that car accident too.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, more chapters to be written on that guy, but holy cow. What a life. Dude, just the opening sequence where his dad's talking about he will be the Messiah of golf. Like,
yeah.
What?
He's just out there prophesizing things.
It's a crazy life.
And the thing is, though, Tiger might not even be striking that well, but if he gets into the weekend, I'm watching.
Of course, dude.
You don't know. Like,
yep.
Why couldn't it be today that he turns it on all of a sudden and boom, he wins his next major?
This, my friend, I do not question that the reason that Tiger Woods is amazing is because he's always been amazing. It's just compelling television. He can be 80 years old going out and he'd be like, dude, it's Tiger.
Yeah.
Like, Tiger. Come on.
Yeah. I'm going to watch him. He'll be in the senior tournament and I'll be like, I got to watch this.
Yep. Yep. So he's must see television on and off
the course. On and off. Yeah.
Dude.
Personal.
Yeah. Like, dude, like, cause that was the thing. It's like, I kind of check in on his career. I know what's going on there. Like, none of that was really surprising. It was cool to see the perspective that they gave on him winning those tournaments.
Yeah.
But dude, his personal life was and is insane. Like, there's shades of the Todd Marinovich story in there too. I don't know if you've seen that one. Todd Marinovich was robo quarterback. Okay. Yeah, it's a 30 for 30. Write it down. Go watch that one. Todd Marinovich, his dad was like a strength and conditioning coach for the Raiders or something like that. And the Raiders. You have to say it like that. But he decided that when his son was born, that he was going to do everything in his power to make him the greatest football player ever. And so he here's this kid, like, standing on one foot on a balance beam over like a shark infested tank, chucking footballs right hand, left hand, doing everything right. And Todd Marinovich was really good. And then he went to USC and he was really good. And then he got to the NFL and his heroin problem derailed his NFL career a little bit, because personally, like, trying to equate those things where you have to live up to this expectation of being greatness and then you do, and it's kind of easy. And now, like, your head's ruined because you don't know how to be a person. It's to me is fascinating. The reason that you and I are so relatable is because we were never really that good at anything.
Yeah, no, we're mediocre at sports across the board, and so therefore we can have conversations, intelligent conversations.
That's a stretch. We can have relatable conversations.
Relatable.
I mean, I can't speak for you, but I underachieved academically, and I probably appropriately achieved athletically. It was like my greatest heights. I still haven't printed the T-shirts, but those are coming down the pike. The junior varsity legend T-shirts. I'm gonna get those. The different icons on them.
You know what?
Junior varsity. This guy.
I'll tell you what. The listeners are going to hear this and be like, we're getting junior varsity T-shirts made up. Like,
no, not just junior varsity. Junior varsity legend.
Oh, okay. Oh, no problem. Buddy.
Make it happen. Listen, I brag about this all the time. Tell me if you know anybody else that has this resume. junior varsity the same year as I played sophomore football. And I've never left the field. I was a wide receiver, cornerback, safety, whatever, kick return, punt return, yeah. All over the field. So I was very mediocre at football, but I was everywhere. I wasn't fast, wasn't tall, wasn't big, but you know what? I can catch. Catch like a mofo. If you throw a football at me right now, I will catch it. This is no joke. Basketball, JV team. I backed up every single position. First guy in. Somebody subs out. I'm 5'10". I would go in at center. I would go in at point guard. I was like, I wasn't good enough to start, but I was like, they're like, Anderson, get out there and don't screw anything up. Like that was like that guy's, this guy's acting like an idiot. You get out there and just don't screw anything up for a little while. That was my job in basketball. So I was every position's backup. And then in the same year, I played on the JV baseball team and we played 12 games and I started one game at each of the 9 positions, pitcher, catcher, first, second, third, shortstop, and all 3 individual outfield positions, 9 positions in 12 games I started. Can you be more second best than that?
I personally cannot. For the record, I did get letters in high school. So
the biggest mistake I did was go to play varsity football. It was awful. All I did was get beat up. Small and slow.
On the baseball note, I attended the Super Regional on Monday, Oregon State versus Auburn.
How was that? That had to have been a great experience.
The fun part about the last 2 weekends, right? We had regional for Oregon State against the teams and the other 3 teams, and then we did Super Regional. Hannah and I actually ended up doing a neat thing where we got 3 tickets for all 7 games for that first weekend, and we just rotated with the kids.
That's awesome.
Going to the games. It was awesome. And sweet. Then last weekend for the Super Regional, I was on. The tickets went on sale Thursday at 2. I'm on there at 1:59, hitting refresh, right?
Yep.
Couldn't even get a ticket. They went so fast.
I believe that.
But then I got a single ticket on Monday for the final game, game three. Yeah. Game 3. Thank you. And love the experience, obviously.
The result, not what you wanted.
I think the hardest part is watching another team dogpile in your house.
Yeah.
That does not sit well at all.
Especially when their mascot's a cat. I mean, kitty cats dogpiling, that's stupid.
I'm not even mad that, like, at the end of the day, Auburn they were smashing balls. They got guys that can just mash, and that's fine. Our guys just didn't ultimately, we had 9 runners in scoring position, and we left them all. Like, you're not going to win games that way. You're not.
So yesterday I was at the Mariners Twins game. Took my twin 5-year-old girls to their first baseball game. So nice. got them Twins hats, Twins shirts. Took them up there. Had a great time. Great time. And it's the getaway day, so it's game 3 of the series.
Okay.
And so we went to the day game, and the Mariners did the same thing. Like, led off the 7th with a triple, or 6th with a triple, and just 5-0 shutout Twins.
Yeah.
It's just like, tough. All right. Well, I'm a Mariners fan. It's expected.
Yeah.
Like that went about the way I expected it. But yeah, 0-0 through 6. And it was just like, womp, womp. But that's a problem with you and your Beavs, is they've done enough that you expect them to go out there and be great under pressure and in those moments.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And there is an expectation there, right? And my buddy Joe and I were talking about this level of expectation that we have. How spoiled are we as fans that we're disappointed when you lose 2 games in a row?
Right.
It doesn't matter what, like, it's regular season play. The fact that you lost 2 in a row.
They didn't lose 2 in a row. Didn't they win game 2?
No, they did. No, I mean in the regular
season. Oh, yeah.
Like, they lost 1 series to UCLA at the end in back-to-back games. And ultimately wouldn't win the Pac-12. So it just, like, but that's what we're expecting, excellence-wise. Yep. And that is what, what I like, though, what Joe and I were talking about, what we both like, is the Casey era, the Pat Casey era continues of relative excellence, right? Yeah. We haven't seen that drop off. We're still getting into the tournament. We're still you know, we're competitive. We can play with these teams. So I like that. And the other thing I'm going to say, and this is just for the Pac-12 in general, the Pac-12 produces some high quality baseball program. They really do. It is underrated.
Stanford in Omaha.
Yep. Stanford made it. They beat UConn after losing game one. So, at the end of the day, the baseball stuff is just, it's a good time. Like, and it's fun to take your kids to the ballpark, right? Here you are. And you get the hot dog, you get the batter up burger, right? And it's perfect. It's just what you want. And then inevitably, I will lose my voice at the end of each game. I scream so hard, so aggressively, that it cracks, it breaks, and it's gone for days.
So, I am not that guy. I'm not the scream at all costs. I'm the like courtesy clap going, ooh, hey.
Like that. He's out there golf clapping.
Or I'm the like turn to the guy next to me and go, oh, we'll get the leadoff batter on, triple, and just leave him stranded, huh? And he goes, ah, got it.
I muttered
to the guy next to me. I'm paying attention to the game too, and I'm aware of this team's history. And he goes, "Oh,
well." Or you and the guy, like, so I went to this game solo, right?
Yeah.
And there's a gentleman in front of me. He's probably 10, 15 years older than me, right? So mid 50s, early 50s, and we're both sitting there and just chit chatting. And what we're doing is we're playing umpire, right? That pitch 2 pitches ago was a strike. What the hell's wrong now? Like, it's just over and over again. Like, just
second batter of the third inning, that was a strike. Now here we're on the eighth, and that's no longer like,
Now we're not calling that a strike.
What are we doing?
I don't care if it's a lefty or a righty. The strike zone's the same. How it is.
That's good.
I was very excited to have Oregon State go. I ended up going 6 or 7 games this season.
That's awesome.
It was a good time. Good time.
I'm glad to hear that. Did we finish your golf story? You talking about?
No.
I don't think we did.
I mean, it's whatever. But ultimately, at the end of that, we should go golfing.
Yes.
I would love to do that. We can certainly take time. I have my own fitted clubs and all that fun stuff.
So. Oh, look at that you.
That was a gift from Hannah for birthday. Nice. Almost, boy, that's might be 10 years ago now.
Yeah, here was the deal that I made with my wife. Is I realized every time I left the house to play in City League basketball or in, like, I was playing in a couple softball leagues. Yeah. Every time I left the house, she would go, don't get hurt. And then I left the house to play golf, and she goes, have fun. And I go, you know what? I've noticed what's going on here. I'll make you a deal. I will stop playing basketball, stop playing softball. But I'm going to spend way too much money on golf clubs. And she's like, deal.
Deal. Done.
Deal. So, yeah. So now I am getting better at ball striking. I am getting better individually with each one of my clubs, including the putter. Yet I still cannot score very well. But I do not embarrass myself as much as some do. So, you know, it's a great game. It's a blast.
I enter each hole assuming.
Say that again.
But no, I'm not. I heard it as soon as I said
just
it.
Just good. Say that again. One more time. Just say it clean so we can just cut it out. Say it with a little more confidence.
I enter each hole.
But I assume that I'm going to 3-putt on every single hole.
Oh, there you go.
I need to get there in 2.
but what you're doing is you're setting expectations.
Yeah. The expectation is there.
Yeah. As I would,
3-putt. Yeah. Let's make this happen in 2 to get to the green. So that's like, you want to talk goals. That's goals.
Right? That's good.
That's goals.
Yeah.
Know your strengths, right?
The funny thing about putting is it's just such an inaccurate science to measure. Yeah. Like we played the other day. I was playing with the fearsome foursome, me and the three brothers.
I just like the name, just so you know.
Oh,
like,
speaking of t-shirts that need to get printed up. But my brother Paul is gripe. He's like, man, you haven't missed a putt all day. And I'm like, yeah, but they're all to save bogey. Like, he's like, you haven't missed a 10-foot putt all day. Like, and I was at the putt. Dude, yeah. I get in position for a birdie putt, and I managed to get a bogey as well. So it's like, come on. It's one of those things where, and it's not even that there's more pressure on it, because there's almost more pressure on that bogey putt because you're like, dude, I need to save this to, you know, whatever. And but then you, for some reason with a birdie putt, and I did hit one, but like for the most part, like you get up there and like you never want to leave it short, so then you run past it by a mile, and then now your comeback putt is long, and just it's a stupid game. But
it's a hard head game too. I think that golf is one of the more mental games. Like it is very mental, and it's just so much. It's so much you.
Yep.
Whenever anybody else, even if I never played competition, but it ultimately does not matter what is happening in the competition field. Really doesn't.
Yep.
You just have to perform.
Well, the thing that I enjoy about the game as I get older is there is that element of it, and I very rarely get through a round without slamming, tossing, or full on chucking a club. Dropping like a expletive laced little rant as I walk up the green. But what I've learned to do is then immediately wipe that from my we're just moving on. Yeah. And I haven't gotten to the point where it's like every shot is the most important shot is the next shot, whatever. But the way that you can understand yourself and the way that your brain works, there is a delight in that game and that the challenge of just going, all right, what the hell is, what are we trying to accomplish here?
In this fearsome foursome, like I imagine like here you have brothers standing on a green together. The one brother misses the 3 foot putter for, or the 3 foot putt for par.
Yeah.
Is there one brother of the three that are in attendance watching this putt happen? Does one of them say, "Uh-oh, here comes the putter throw"?
I mean that
lines.
That I mean yes. Listen, Happy Gilmore is the go-to reference point when we're out there. So yes, that comes up all the time. But the funny thing about it is none of us are good enough to make it too tense. So honestly, it's like, oh, a lot of, you know, we're all kind of rooting for each other. Nobody wants to see anybody miss. We don't play for high stakes. We don't put up money on it. We just go out there and we have a good time, and you want everybody to play well. But the funny thing is, and this is something that cannot be corroborated right in the moment, I always play worse when I play with my brothers. And I don't play worse than them. Like the other day, I won by 5 strokes. It was walking away. It was pretty easy at the end of the day to be like, yeah, check the box. I'm the guy. What I'm trying to do is get them to keep a handicap so we can go out there and actually be like, all right, listen, because I'm an 18, I'm not any good. But I'm like, dude, if I'm an 18, you're 22, you get 4 strokes on this course, like take them. Like, why not? And then we can play a little bit more competitive. But that's one of the things with golf that is there and available for everybody to use. But it's hard to get people to buy into it and just go, hey,
I've never done it.
I recommend it. It's cost like $50 or $70 or whatever to register for the year. It keeps track of, you just punch in the round that you have and it'll calculate out and go, on this course, you get 19 strokes if you're playing a scratch golfer. But if you're playing against, you know, somebody that's equal or a little bit better than you, but like if I go out and play with, I'm going to play this weekend, you know, and I'm going to play the guy that's a 9. So if I could, dude, I'll take 10 strokes. I don't have any shame in it. You go out there and, you know, if he wants to, you know, put a little game into action, he has to play better than his average. I have to play better than mine. Sure, let's do it.
Make it fun.
Yeah, it totally does. And that's the other thing about the game is there's nowhere else you can do that and be like, all right. LeBron, we're going to play one-on-one, and my handicap is my height, my speed, my quickness. So we're going to tie one arm behind your back. You're going to be in a wheelchair, and you can't shoot with your dominant hand. Let's go.
Yep. Like, you can only kick it.
Yeah, he'd probably still kick my ass. Like, come on. Like, it's just one of those things where there's not really a sport where you can go out there, even the playing field immediately. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if you play, I don't know, it's 8 times a year, it's worth keeping a handicap, is what I would say.
That's good to know. I haven't for a long time.
Well, and the other thing it does is like, so the other day, like I'm not running away from the field by any stretch, but I'm kind of comfortably ahead of my brothers or whatever. But I go into the last 2 holes instead of just going like, oh, whatever, let's take a mulligan on that, let's drop here and I'll do that. I'm like, well, I'm still playing for something. Let's finish it out. Let's try to hit the fairway. Try to keep. And what I always say is like, dude, I'm not keeping every stroke because like I owe myself or the USGA like some code of honesty. It's like, dude, let's keep it and see if I can actually improve. And I've only done it for a few years, but you keep track of it over time and be like, all right, let's see if we can get our handicap down in single digits, you know, by the time I'm 50 or something like that. Just set those kind of arbitrary goals where it's like, hey, it doesn't really matter. You, like you said, you're only playing against yourself in the course and going out there and having fun. But like, that's something like if I could, you know, celebrate my 50th birthday and be a 9, that'd be awesome. You know, so
not bad. That ain't bad at all.
Yeah, but I've got buddies that are, you know, that are like floating around single digits, and they're, you know, they're better golfers than me, but they don't like shot for shot. I can hit every shot that they can hit. It's not like, you know, it's not like I go out with a guy that's a 10 and every drive he's hitting at 40 yards further than me and every putt he sinks or whatever. It's just eliminating the OB. It's eliminating the duff around the green. It's eliminating stupid. Take one bad shot and then go out and turn it into 3 more.
Yep. At least 3 more. Could be 5.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. It's like I'm good for a 7 and an 8 on every side.
At least one.
Sure. But it used to be where I'd get 1 and then the next 3 hole stretch would all be.
Yeah.
I'm eliminating those, but
yeah.
But that's the worst part about golf. Now we have a golf podcast. Welcome to the golf podcast. The worst thing about the game and the worst thing that I do in the game is I go out and I'll get advice on how to improve my swing, or I'll watch like a YouTube video, get more power. Like, here's what you need to do or whatever. And you go to make a small correction in your swing.
And it sends it.
But with no practice.
Oh yeah.
And so then you get up there and you're like, all I have to, like, if I could just figure out this one thing. And then by like the 7th hole, your swing is completely sideways. And like, I always tell myself not to do that. So it's like, I never go out there with the same swing for more than like 2 months at a time. And I'll start to play well and I'll shoot around in the mid 80s and I'm feeling pretty good. And then it's like, but what if I could hit it a little bit harder? Like, that's that. My goal now is to be like, let's get a consistent swing. You're not going to go out and practice for 8 hours. You're not going to hit 2 large buckets today after you try to make that swing. So it's like, figure out what your stupid swing is, go out there and use it, and then try to score. But what I constantly get in the kind of that trap of, it's like, you know, if you just drop your hands a little bit, if you do that, you try lowering lower your right shoulder. Now just try, how'd that feel? And then you hit one good shot. And you're like, oh my God, that went 272. My last one only went 268. If I could hit it 4 yards further every time. And then now you're trying to replicate it, and it was just a lucky swing, and you're an idiot. And then by the end of it, you're like going, so if I stand on 1 foot, whatever.
You get into these. Yeah.
It's a stupid game. It's a very stupid game.
Do you wear soft cleats? Soft spikes?
Typically I'll wear like the molded spikes. I need to get a pair of good waterproof shoes.
Yeah. Get that dew on you. Nobody likes that.
Yeah. Well, like, I've got those, some that are like, they're water resistant. I go through that. I'm not worried about the dew. What happens is like, you're going and you're like, cool, there's my ball. It's 2 steps off the fairway. And what'd you say? Wettest April, May, June. And then you take that 1 step off the fairway, or sometimes in the middle of the fairway, and all of a sudden you have like a puddle up to your ankle that was not there that just emerges out of nowhere. That's where it kills you. But
sure does.
Next thing you know, your foot's wet for the rest of the round. It's sloshing
every time.
Every time. So, anyways, all right.
Every time,
my friend. Do you have a topic that you would like to educate people on? We talked.
Briefly. I don't know any particular topic today, but I think we can talk about some Father's Day stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So tell.
So
your oldest. Your oldest is what? 9.
11.
11.
8. Son just turned 8.
Way off. All right. So 11 and 8. So you've been doing this twice as long as I have. Do you have a Father's Day routine, demand list? Like, what's your...
First, no demand list. So before we jump into this, and I've discussed this, whether it's in a live or perhaps some TikToks that I've made. I don't like holidays, just in general. I'm not... Nope. That's just not my vibe.
Okay. Like, real quick. No holidays?
Pretty much.
All right.
I'm getting to the point. And maybe it's me being sour grapes into my 40s, right?
Yeah.
It could be that I'm just getting set. Like, is this like the process of becoming set in your ways? Is that what I'm feeling?
Ooh, maybe. I don't know. I mean, my wife is all in on every holiday. So the thing is, yeah, I can like tangentially like celebrate every, like, I will not be sitting like in my recliner, like flipping through the channels in the middle of the night with the whole family asleep. And some fat guy jumps out of the chimney. And I go, oh crap, what day is it? Like, I'm very aware of when all of these checkpoints are. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, did I eat your cookies?
So
sorry, dude.
And it could be that it's because my kids are getting older, right? Yeah. And they're let's use the magic of holidays, right? The potential magic that holidays could be for younger children is starting to leave that magic part. Is that sad? Maybe it's a little sad, but you know what? They're also growing up, and that's fun too. I'm good with that. So this is a conversation that I actually had with Hannah as we were approaching Father's Day weekend, because as part of the divorce judgment, right, I get on Mother's Day and Father's Day, we get to be with our kids. Sure. That's just how it was going to be written. That's fine. The interesting part, though, is that as we kind of get into the divorce, because we're a little over a year into the divorce now, and we're definitely getting into our groove. I think, like, it's real, really fluid. Like it a lot. And the one thing that we talked about is this concept for particularly Mother's Day and Father's Day, and how these days are designed to be for you, the father, or me, the father. And fortunately or unfortunately, maybe on that day, what I want to do is not be around my children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, this is becoming a thing, I think, for maybe our generation is on the latter end of this, but the younger generation of parents, they want a day away from their kids for Mother's Day and Father's Day. They don't the pampering and all that. It's like, that's great, that's fun. I like the cute cards. I like your handprints on the cards. I like, you know, those are cute things. But we're moving toward, I kind of want to be
left alone.
Just peace. I'll see you guys when I see you. I'm going to see you tomorrow, the day after Father's Day. Have a great time, you know? So I am going to see the kids for Father's Day on Sunday. I'll have them over as part of it. But we are entering this phase where it's kind of like, they lack importance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So like my wife and I, we met, I was a bartender. She was a hostess at a restaurant for the first, I don't know, half of our marriage. We worked in hospitality, whether I was in hotels and she was in restaurants or movie theaters. Like we were, you know, in that arena. We have never celebrated Valentine's Day. Our Valentine's celebration is like, hey, I think Valentine's Day is this week. Just making sure we're not doing anything and there's no expectation. She goes, check. And I go, check. And that's kind of it, right?
That's it.
Very fabricated. I can see the connection with like Mother's and Father's Days, because like in my family, it's just like whoever initiates it, whether it's my sister or one of my brothers or whatever, very, very rarely me. Like the text was sent out like last week for Father's Day. Hey, Dad needs new tires. Everyone want to chip in a couple hundred bucks and get him new tires. And then he gets like, here's Kat. And it was like, we're not putting the tires on his truck. We'll put the tires on my mom's car. I don't think it was last year, but maybe the year before. But it was like somebody steals her car and goes and put the tires, because she's not going to go to the shop. My dad wants to pick out the tires that are going on his truck. Right. But like, that's the way that we do Father's Day. It's like, hey, yeah, there's a thing. Here's like, and then we'll all get together. But like right now, this weekend, my dad's driving to Alaska during Father's Day, which is, there's no way place that he'd rather be. And then my mom's like, we should all celebrate Father's Day like this weekend before he leaves. And like, no, we're going to see him in Alaska what he wants to do.
Exactly. For the Father's Day.
But that there is an interesting element of Father's Day in that the expectation of the father for that day. Whereas it's like, I kind of like the routine. My wife loves the tradition of holidays, going, here's the things that we want to hit every year. And what I've told her is like, yes, try it, but don't force any of them. Like, you can float whatever you want and go, hey, if this works out, I'm perfectly fine with knowing what to expect. True. And like, if I could set it up where every year on Father's Day, I can get up, watch a little bit of the US Open, maybe go and play some golf, come back, catch the end of it, whatever. The only problem, the US Open, they go from East Coast to West Coast and they
crazy.
Yeah. Like if I had my pick, just put it at Augusta every year, make the Masters on Father's Day weekend. Cause then we know the time zone.
Yeah.
Be a little bit easier, but I digress. But if there was like the one thing that I do enjoy about holidays is my wife just goes, hey, let's do A, B, C, D. And then she on for Mother's Day, she's like, yeah, I don't want a big deal. Let's just take it easy. So we take them pretty low key, but like every year for Christmas, I get a flannel shirt. I get like new socks. I get a toothbrush, whatever. But it's like, here's the checklist. I get a bottle of whiskey or something. So it's like, there's my thing. So I am very good with the idea of, as my kids get older, let's kind of set it up where it's like, here's kind of what I'm looking for from Father's Day. And then let's just do it that way. So we try to manipulate holidays into that the best that we can.
That makes sense. Coincidentally, on Saturday this weekend, my father and I, we were looking at the tide tables and the swell for the ocean coming up, because salmon fishing opens on Saturday.
Yep.
Sure enough, we got good tide. We got good swell. Dad and I are hitting the big pond. Like nice. We're heading for big pond, open water. That alone right there, I'm good for the weekend. Yep. That's like, it doesn't, I don't, I,
yeah,
that's what I want to do. I want to go slay fish. That sounds like a great, I want to go slay fish. I want to see the whales. I want to feel the salt water on my hands as I'm pulling the crab pot up from the bottom of the ocean.
Now you're talking.
For some reason, for me, that's perfection, right?
Where'd you learn that stuff?
Which part?
All of it. Your fishing trip. You said you're going with your dad.
Oh yeah. Where did I learn? I mean, in practice, honestly, just but go
with your dad.
Yeah. With dad. Yeah. I mean,
that's your Father's Day.
The ocean is different.
Yeah, I know. But you see what I'm saying though. It's like, that's your Father's Day, right? Like it's you and your dad going out and doing that. Now, if your son wants to join in at some point, like,
oh, and he would.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And my son would want to be there. The issue is actually that particular day, we got the ocean pretty dialed in as far as what, like when we're looking at the swell, what will work for the kids to be out on that big.
Oh yeah, totally.
What won't. Because it is different. I mean, it's, there's an element of danger, right? Like when you're in the open water that way, like just you catch yourself a rolling swell that catches a wind wave that breaks and all of a sudden it breaks over the bow and you're wet. I mean, it's not fun.
Well, that plus calculating when a boat turns into a vomitorium compared to just a boat ride. That's also, I think,
absolutely
pretty valuable information to have.
But yeah, so dad and I are going to do that on Saturday. I'm totally down. And so that kind of sets up my Sunday for probably just kind of laying around recuperating, because on Saturday I will have gotten up at probably 2:30 in the morning, travel to Newport, right? Dump the boat, which it's the opener of salmon season. We're not going to be the only ones that
really
side table, right? Is looking good. That boat ramp is going to have 200 plus boats.
Oh, sure.
It is absolute chaos there. So, but yeah, the other fun thing about the boat ramp and just Father's Day weekend is boat ramps. If you want to do some fun people watching, go watch a boat ramp in the morning.
The fun thing is like picking out new guy.
Yeah.
Who's got like, he spent $170,000 on a brand new Bayliner. And then he went cheap for some reason on the trailer, and his truck can barely pull it because he got the one that looked cool, and you could spot the rims a mile away and just go, oh dude, you're going to get salt water on those and they're going to start rusting, which is totally awesome. And you just kind of go, oh buddy, this is just going to end poorly.
I got a story. Last year, we're at the boat ramp. So we have a system, right? My father and I.
Yep.
I'm the driver typically. Like, and when I say that is, whether it's his truck or my truck that we take to take the boat over to the ocean, I'm driving.
Sure.
Because I want to get there, and we're going to get there with speed, right? Let's, if you ain't first, you're last at that boat ramp, in my opinion. Like, that's the way I roll.
Let's go!
So... And I also, when we get in the water, I'm going to be the driver of the boat, right? Dad's going to be the one baiting up the crab traps, baiting up hooks. He's doing deckhand stuff. I'm driver.
Sure.
El Capitan. So I back the boat down in the water. As I'm backing the boat down, there's a gentleman. Now, Newport has three ramps. There's a gentleman that's backing his, or has already backed his boat down. He has his window down, right?
Yeah.
And his wife or other significant other, I assume his wife, is captaining the boat as it's entered the water. These boat ramps are relatively professional operations for people that it's in and out. You have the system, right? And when you have one person that doesn't have their system dialed in,
it breaks the whole thing
for everybody else, right? So suddenly what we're witnessing in this tight space is a boat that has become, it's now turned perpendicular to the rest of the boats. And she is frustrated, right? And you can see that things are about to not be good, right? Yeah. Like she's gonna either hit the dock or she's gonna hit the ramp. She's hitting something with impunity.
Right? Yeah, with force.
So I can't remember what he says. He's hollering out the window to her. First off, big mistake, right?
Yeah,
you don't want to be yelling out the window to your significant other who's in a high stress environment.
Yep.
That's not going to go well. She fires back, right? She fires back with the, you put the boat in the water, right? Just drop. And I mean, the whole boat ramp can hear this interaction, right? No joke. This lady jumps out of a boat that has no other passenger, jumps out, is in thigh high water, right? And just walks up the boat ramp in disgust away from her husband.
Oh my God.
Who now has a truck
and a boat.
Both are in water and one has to be commanded at all times. This, like, I just sat there just watching that for a second. And meanwhile, the best part is at these events, right? The sheriff or the state trooper is going to be there as they're checking.
Yeah, yeah.
They're checking, you know, they're doing their job. They're not looking for criminal activity necessarily. They're just doing their job.
Yep. Yeah, anytime I've ever interacted with a game warden or, you know, whoever, they are there to help. That's a funny thing. Like, so the Russian River, like, we made sure we had all our paperwork. I don't think they checked anybody's paperwork. They're like, buddy, do you know how to cast a fly rod? And they're not like helping people and doing the whole, they want everybody to have a good time and come back. And the more populated an area, the more important that fun and everybody gets along stuff is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now we've got a bobbing boat unmanned at the boat ramp, right? Yep. Just clogging everything up. We have a gentleman that's trying to grab his boat with a little like dock hook, right? And get it over. Mad wife is storming up the boat ramp.
Yep.
The officers are watching this interaction, right? And I believe by technical law, it is illegal to leave a boat unmanned and unharnessed a ramp. Like, it's like there's actual law written about that.
Yeah, it ends poorly for everyone involved if that happens.
So the officers come down, right, and they're interacting with the male, the husband of this. I don't believe they wrote him a ticket, but I also never saw his boat in the ocean.
Oh yeah, I'm confident of that. Well, so, he's busy filling out divorce paperwork. Jeez.
He's on the phone.
He's gonna lose a half of everything that he has.
I'm just telling everybody, if you want to do something fun on Father's Day, go pop yourself over to a boat ramp and just
set up a lawn chair. Have a cooler full of beers.
Something is gonna pop off. I guarantee it. You're going to have a good time.
That's fantastic.
I've never had anything much crazier than that at a boat ramp. Like, you know, you'll see those videos where a car loses its parking brake and
the
whole boat and truck go into the water. But I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. But you just seeing a truck, breaking surf up to its hood.
Yeah.
That's
fun.
That's something.
I've seen that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't know that these tides change on the 6 hours, huh? That's so weird.
Yeah. Well, or it's just they, like that, you know, like you said, no parking brake, and all of a sudden it's rolling back in the ocean. It's like
heading for it.
Gravity, yeah. Gravity plus.
My take on Father's Day though is do what you want to do, right? And if you want to spend time with your kids, take your kids out. That's fine, right? Yeah. I'm not saying don't, but I feel like as I'm getting older and more introverted, I'm good with just chilling on the holiday.
Yeah, I'm with you. Say, for me, I think it is because I'm 2 5-year-olds, man. I'm in expectation setting mode.
Yeah.
Where I kind of need to make that decision of what I want to do. But now remember, yesterday, baseball game, just me and the girls. No, wife wasn't there. It was just dad and 2 little girls went up to watch a baseball game. We did everything we could to make sure that they had a great time. Yeah. And it was a blast. Week after, I'm going to Alaska with my brothers and my dad. So I've got that going in there. Yep. So for me, it's just deciding, all right, if I get a free Sunday, what does that feel like? And it's like, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. Like you mentioned before we started recording, or maybe, is that you've got a buddy that's going to Disneyland or a guy that you work with. Yeah. That's going to Disneyland for Father's Day sounds terrible.
It sounds like a lot,
but having my kids make me mediocre pancakes while I watch golf
is not bad.
Dude, I'm down for that. Like a Bloody Mary. Some raw in the middle waffles, whatever.
If I have one thing that if I'm going to boast about business things, being proud of my business and the business that I operate and own, the thing that makes me the most proud is when I know that they're going on these vacations, right? And that I got to help facilitate that just through the work that I do. They get to purchase homes and go on big vacations. Those are probably my more proud moments as the business owner, that they have that time to go do that. Right. We're in the middle of summer. Go do Disneyland, man. It doesn't bother me. We'll lose 3 days of sun. We'll find 3 days. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
You're more George Bailey than Mr. Potter is what you're telling me.
I think so.
Yeah. That's what you want. Yeah. Help people accomplish their goals and their dreams is a great way to kind of lead as a business, as a businessman. The rewards will come back to repay you in more ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hear you. And before we jumped on for the podcast, I actually ran a check out to Jamie, the painter. And, the deal was typically I pay him on Fridays, right? But he was leaving today.
Yeah.
So he texted me last night. He's like, hey, can I get my check early? I was like, yeah, dude, no problem. Of course. You take your spending money, right? Yeah. Go do your thing. Not a problem. So, no, it's I like those are the instances. Painter Pablo, I just found out that he just purchased a little over 100 hectares in Mexico.
Hell yeah.
And he's got 30 cattle on it.
How big is a hectare?
2.5 acres. So
okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Almost 300 acres. But his plan, right? His plan, his dream, and I love it, is by 2025, 26, boom, he's done. He's bouncing back to Mexico and he's not here anymore. That's where he wants to be living, raising cattle, doing that part of life. I'm down for that.
100%.
If you can help facilitate people's dreams and aspirations, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. You're impacting their life. That's neat. So that's fun. But yeah, the Father's Day thing, go do what you want to do. But I can roll solo.
Yeah. You didn't start early enough. Right now is the time. My kids are as impressionable as they will ever be with a level of understanding that I think can be imprinted. This was the whole point of taking the baseball game yesterday. Did you know how much time we sat in our seats and watched the baseball game?
Oh, probably very little.
Half an inning.
Yeah.
however long it took for them to eat their Dippin' Dots, which I realized was a huge mistake because I was like, I thought they were the ones that were like the little ice cream covered in chocolate or whatever. Yeah. I was like, no,
That's a drumstick you're taking.
But they have like the dips. There was a thing. Anyways, those, they're not. So I let the kids eat those. Then they got a little bit cold. And I was like, they got the kids area and stuff. But yeah, we were at T-Mobile Park up in Seattle. And they've got like the kids play area and they've got like the kids like zone where you can go and hit wiffle balls and whatever. And so we watched the first inning and then we went up to the kids zone where they were chucking baseballs around, hitting them off the tee and stuff. Then we went over to the kids play area until they got hungry. Then we went up and we had two hot dogs. Well, we had 200 level seats, so there's like it's all enclosed, so we didn't even have to sit outside. But I sat and watched a game. They sat and ate their food, and then I was just like, "Sweet, I'll just take whatever you guys don't finish." So set there. Then we go meet the moose. Then they go back to the play area, and guess who had a great time at a baseball game? Now, will they realize that they didn't watch any of the baseball game? No. Next year comes around, they're gonna be like, "We want to go to a baseball game. It was so much fun." And right then there. next year they'll watch three innings.
Yep, maybe.
And then the year after that, they'll go back, and then they'll age out of the kids area, but we'll still make sure they have fun because just do that. So I'm in expectation setting mode, which is, listen, whatever they make me this year for breakfast, which is I fully expect. Do you really think that I have an expectation that 2 5-year-olds are going to make a proper Bloody Mary? There's no way they get the ratio of Bloody Mary mix to vodka right the first time, right? And they're probably gonna shake it, not stir it. And they're gonna make a big mess with the bar set. Yeah, with their listen, they're gonna probably there's no way they put in the right amount of Tabasco. They're gonna get the salt rim wrong. The whole thing, right?
There'd be no garnish. There's not going to be a garnish.
No, what they're going to do is they're going to put a dill pickle instead of putting in pickled olives or asparagus or okra, which I prefer. But here's the thing. When they bring me that, let's be honest, very mediocre Bloody Mary, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at them and I'm going to go, this is amazing. And then when they're 6, it's going to be that much better. And by the time they're old enough to have one of those Bloody Marys with me, they're going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and they'll be turning them up just pop pop pop, right?
Oh yeah, no question. And then I'll go, you know what, girls,
this is good.
Yeah, this will be my favorite Father's Day because now you're 12 and you can have one with me. I mean, 21. 21 and you can have one with me. So you know, I think that's my mode is I'm going to manipulate my children little by little to make them into perfect servants one day a year.
Absolutely.
Is that too much to ask for?
A bad idea. Yeah. It's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
Yeah. Right? Like we'll probably hit golf balls in the backyard, the three of us, for like 7 minutes this year. Next year it'll be 12. Year after that. And then, you know, by the time they're in high school, we'll go out and we'll play. The three of us will get a tea time. We'll go out, we'll do that. And then after they make me breakfast. So we're gonna inch our way towards I'll put it in my head is how do my kids And then what I'll do is I'll just go, let's put a target date of 2040 on that bad boy and let's inch our way towards it.
I like the target date.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, you
got realistic.
We went to kindergarten orientation class of 2035.
So
2035.
We just went to her promotion ceremony because she's going to middle school, junior high next year, right?
Yeah.
So we go to the orientation at the middle school for the parents, right? The nostalgia that you get, even the scent of the lockers as you're walking the corridors, it is amazing how it just... Boom! I didn't go to this middle school. That's not my middle school. But it's this like if Zach Morris and Kelly Kapowski turned the corner and came around, I'd be like, ha, there they are. It's perfect.
They just did an invitation. The high school that I went to, they're tearing up the building.
Okay.
And they have the new ones pretty much built, but they're getting ready to tear down the old ones. So they sent out an invite for everybody to go and wander the halls one last time. And I too late and I missed it, but my sister sent me the invite the day of, but for a second it kind of ran through my head. But here's the funny thing is you spend so much time there. All I did was close my eyes and kind of picture strolling through that place, you know, and you just kind of remember it. But like you said, walking into any high school gives you the same nostalgia. Cause we went into, what is a brand new elementary school. It opened last year, was the first year for the kindergarten orientation, but the same thing. They built the new building, tore down the old one, whatever. But I walked in, dude, it's all the same. It's way cooler than my kindergarten was. But dude, I go back to kindergarten, first grade, and just kind of go, Oh yeah.
Like these, like, and then you're like walking around. Like, I'm sure you did this. You walk around and you just realize how little the desks are.
Oh yeah. 100%.
And you're like, whoa, these are little people. I forget that.
Well, and then the other thing that you do is you kind of size up all the other kindergarten. That one's picking its nose right now. My girls are taller than half of these boys. You're like, all right, so that's good. That's a good sign. Like, and then you try to like make any correlation to it. It's like, all right, well, they're bigger, stronger, faster than these kids. They're smarter than those kids. They're prettier than these girls. Yes, they're going to be successful. It's like, dude, first day of school, they're going to be like, your kids stink. You need to get them more showers. I'm like, damn.
And here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to prepare you for this now, because as you enter kindergarten, the early elementary years, right? This is where first crushes begin, right?
Ooh, they better not. And but yet, I can remember that Mandy Messenger, my kindergarten crush.
What did you just say? His name was Logan. His parents are fantastic.
You were over at his parents' house? What the hell is going on here?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Actually, I think I did a bid for them at one point, too. But, you know, it's like... Like, that's the other thing. This is the thing. Like, as children, we don't equate this for the parents. So this is just, I'm going to set you up here. So your children will go through school with the same school age kids, whether they move through middle school, elementary, all the way to high school, they're going to move through with the same group of children, right?
Yep.
The thing you won't realize until you start seeing them constantly is that you will then also move with the same group of parents.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
You are a parent group. You're going to see him at the birthday parties. You're going to see him at the sporting event. Like, you will know who they are, what they are, when they are.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much right away. And you're going to vibe them out right away. And you're going to know who's your cup of tea and who is not your cup of tea. And at some point, your children, you're going to have to communicate that to your children.
You cannot be friends with this girl.
right there.
Yeah.
I can't stand her father. You cannot be friends with that person.
Listen. Here's what you don't know is that girl will drop out of high school and she will try to sell you meth at some point. So, and what? No, she's great. Yeah, no. I met her parents. I know where this train is going.
I know where this is going. I know. I'm your dad. Yeah. No, but that's the thing. You like, I was not ready for that part of it. I don't think
So we have preschool, and I kind of screwed that up too, because I never did like the proper introductions. Like, hi, my name is, I am parents of the, like the other day, the preschool, what was it? It was like getting out early. Something I had to pick them up early.
Yeah.
And then, took the girls out to lunch, like on the way home, because they hadn't eaten and I hadn't, whatever. So we're sitting in a restaurant, and then one of the parents comes up and goes, "Oh, I thought that was you." And I'm like, "I don't know what your name is. I don't know whose parent you are. I know how you know me, and I know I should know you, and I have no idea."
Mm-hmm.
The face is vague, but yeah, I could not draw a line. And then guess who's not help? The twins.
The twins. They're not going to know.
No, they don't know. They don't pay any attention. So I'm relying on them. What's her name? Whose mom is she?
Exactly.
And then one of my twins very confidently goes, "That's so-and-so's mom." And then the other twin goes, "No, it's not. That's so-and-so's mom." And I'm like, "You." But here's the thing is it was probably 50-50 that the kids would get it right. But at least I knew that I cannot trust my children. That's the other thing that I learned that's very valuable, because had I had one child with me, they would have very confidently said, it's this person, which gives me, and now I'm saying 50-50, this might be a 1 in 10 shot. Like, they could have just made something up, but they go, "That's so-and-so's mom." The one said it with such confidence and the other one rejected it with equal confidence. The chances of me just walking up and just going, "Oh, we'll tell this little kid's name that I said hi," and they're like, "Why would I do that? I don't know who that is." Like, so the chances of me looking like a total idiot were pretty, and then I would have to throw my kid right under the bus. I'm like, "Oh, sorry, my stupid kid thought that you were so-and-so's mom."
So my,
and then I had to push them down, and it was a whole thing. And I'll be like, "You know what the worst part is? She still can't make a Bloody Mary."
No, not at all.
I asked her to make me a Tom Collins the other day, and she like didn't even know where to start.
It's a great drink, though. That's like, I love a good Tom Collins. So this is kindergarten, first grade.
Yeah.
Right. Peyton's got a friend and we've met the parents. We're having, it was probably a birthday party. I can't remember what it was, but ultimately the parents are going to come over to the birthday party. And early on for the birthdays, the kids kind of just, or the parents stay at the birthday party observing their children, right? Yep. Mingling with other parents. It's very common. You're figuring out names, all those fun things. On this particular friend, I had met her parents before. I knew what her father did, and very specifically to the degree that I knew because I had done something similar as part of my younger career in merchandising. And so I kind of knew what he was doing. And we had conversations about that. And they come over for the birthday party. He's there. And God, it is so embarrassing. I totally forget his name, right?
Sure.
I forget his name, can't remember it. And I decided to do this. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do the thing where it's like, hey, I don't remember your name. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. I say that line to him. He looks at me like typically the expectation for me is that the individual that I'm asking this of, I don't remember your name. Sorry. Right.
Yeah.
The next thing that I would expect is maybe an off look, but then it's followed with, oh, my name's Ben. No worries.
You know, yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
that is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no worries. I forgot your name too. I'm Luke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy.
He looks at me and I was like, uh-oh, I'm definitely supposed to know this. I'm definitely supposed to know this. His name was my name. His name was Ben.
That was going to be my guess.
And I forgot. And
that's so good.
It's so bad. The thing is, it's not even like I met him one time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not that it was an important meeting either, but yeah. Should I have the cognitive brain capability to remember that this individual's name is my name? Probably.
So I met Bill Walton.
Yeah.
And, I was working for a hotel down in Los Angeles and, it's right across from UCLA campus.
Okay.
So the W Hotel, it's very nice. It's where Biggie got shot.
Oh,
okay. So yeah, it's a lovely place. He was en route to a party there when he got shot and died. So UCLA is having like a little gala fundraiser, like Reggie Miller's there and Walton and a bunch of other like former UCLA basketball players all hovering around. And I needed to like hang on to something. And so he's like, this is very valuable. I need you to hang on to this for me. And I go, no problem. I'll go put it in the safe. And I was a front desk manager. And so I got it and he goes, and what was your name? It should be easy for you to remember. My name is Luke. And he looks at me and he goes, why on earth would that be easy for me to remember? And like at the time, Luke Walton is playing for the Lakers. And it's like, yeah. I'm like, how do you go? Isn't that your son's name? And so I'm just looking at Bill Walton just going, To be quite honest, I guess I don't know why that was. Why on earth would that be easy for me to remember?
The Bill Walton impression is fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Well, the funny thing is, like, and he's looking down on me from high above and just.
He's up here.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm staring up at the guy. I'm the asshole here. Like, okay. Okay, buddy.
Your son, and later on his son, Luke, would go on to coach the Lakers also.
Oh, yeah. So, anyways.
Hilarious. Names are hard.
No, yeah, no. Names are hard, and it's a stupid thing. But yeah, no, the other thing that's equally as tricky is like you have people that you like that have kids, and you just go, oh, I don't like the way you're doing that. Oh, I don't like the way your kid seems rotten, because it works both ways. Like it's just as dead. And I haven't had a ton of these, but you run into it where you're like, oh man, I really don't like that kid at all. The parents are kind of cool. And I'm like, I don't want to make my kid. And then your kids don't like the kid. And they're like, no, he's awful. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but like the guy, the dad's a member. I like this golf club and I'd like to play. And so then where do you balance that? And then it's like the kid's really great and the parent's awful. And you're like, well, he's smartest kid. Like, we can just suck it up and hang out with these guys. And your wife's like, oh, they're so dull.
Yep.
So yeah, the behind the scenes conversations of being a PTA, PTA member is, I'm sure delightful. And then you have like the overambitious parents trying to edge their kid into everything. And it's like, I don't know, man. But the other thing that cracks me up is like, how many teachers do you know? How many people do you know that are teachers? And you just go, oh, that's totally their fallback job. Like they're only doing that because they can't do anything else. And it's like, you know, you're like, oh, you hear about so-and-so, like they were trashed this weekend. You're like, they teach my kid's kindergarten class. It's like, oh. Like the best and the brightest do not go on to teach elementary school. Is an exaggeration, but some of them do. Most, listen, I'm sure most.
I'm the best.
I'm sure most of the teachers, that's their dream job. It's all they ever wanted to do. But some of the teachers, they just kind of.
I do believe that there's like teacher burnout too.
For sure. Well, dude, can you imagine? Like, you deal with two kids on a regular basis. Can you imagine multiplying that by 15 and dealing with them every day? Ugh.
Golly.
Yeah. Well, and then they like, dude, like somebody that teaches junior high and it's like, hey, we need you to take all of our awful kids and their developing hormones that they don't fully understand. And just, if you could just deal with that
and harness that.
Yeah. Could you jump right on that? Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a terrible system that we have, but you know, it's only one we got, so we'll do what we can. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's How to Father's Day. It was a very meandering conversation, but you know what? I mean, let's go back to Sunshine Ben's point, which is, we're not doing a video on this, so you can raise your arms and your bright yellow sweatshirt all you want.
I was
switching. Here is to your point. If we're doing a Father's Day episode and your goal for Father's Day is to do whatever the hell you want, I think we accomplished that with this podcast. Okay. All right.
We did accomplish that.
Tell people who you are, what you do, where to find you.
I am the Box Dad on TikTok and Instagram. And
how many followers are you up to on your social meds?
A couple hundred thousand and change. I can't remember.
Not even a big deal anymore.
It's no big deal. It's, you know, I will say this though, for those that are out there, I introduced a new character just yesterday.
Oh boy.
And all I'm going to tell you is that there's a gray wig involved and it's fun. We're going to have fun.
Becky doesn't have a voice. You don't do it.
Does not, but this character will.
Oh boy.
This character is going to have a voice. But it's a gray wig and a male character. Cause it matches this flow, right?
Old Ben. It's Old Ben. It's Obi-Wan. All right. At the Box Dad on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, whatever. And then, Box Painting. And still looking for franchisees. One thing that I admire about you is you've taken your business. You don't work weekends. You have figured out a way to keep a great life-work balance, and you're trying to create that opportunity for others. So if you want more information on that, how do they find you there?
Follow up with ben@boxpainting.com is my email. Super cool. Simple. We'll get you some information on the franchise department and how we get there. So
all right.
To get information.
If you want more how-to podcasts, odyssey.com, anywhere podcasts are baked and sold. Wait, available. That's the word. There you go. Find those. I'm Luke Anderson. You can hear me on The Sinner and the Saint on 1080thefan.com or on my podcast on Odyssey. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Have a wonderful day. Happy Father's Day to everybody that hears it before then. Bye.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.